This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I am Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We are on Milwaukee's Near South Side for our Lake Effect On-Site series, recording in front of an audience at Latino Arts, located in the city's Walker Square neighborhood.
The neighborhood is part of the more general area known by several names, among them the moniker the Near South Side. It's an area that's near and dear to the heart of our first guest. Adam Carr wears a lot of hats, among them journalist, tour guide, and artist.
Some years ago, he was one of the artists behind a project that spotlighted the uniqueness of the Mitchell Street corridor, and he's kind of the perfect person to get our conversation going. Adam Carr, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So let's get one big issue out of the way first. What do we call this part of town, the part of town that kind of surrounds us? How do we describe the kind of area that we're in?
Sure. I think people take neighborhood names very seriously and very personally. So I just want to qualify, if you're in the audience right now or listening at home and you have any issues with what I say, you can write M. Tyke. Care of. So just kidding. So I've heard the term Near South Side. And actually, I don't know when Near South Side started coming into existence, but it is a more recent phenomenon. I've heard very longtime Southsiders say, what does Near South Side mean? What does that mean? Very specifically where we're sitting right now, we're at the United Community Center. Because we are west of the highway, that puts us in Walker Square, the Walker Square neighborhood. On the other side of the highway is Walker's Point. So then Walker's Point is a neighborhood, and I actually think there has been some work on the part of Walker Square to clearly delineate this side of the highway as being different than Walker Square, given the recent wave of development that's been happening in Walker's Point. Another more recent phenomenon also has been the Inner Harbor, now the Harbor District, which is bordering basically Walker's Point to its east. You go west of here, you got Clark Square, Muskego Way, Silver City, Burnham Park, Layton Park. You could go over to Lincoln Village, also then the KK River Parkway neighborhoods. So that was a lot of neighborhoods all at once, but the Near South Side is a place of neighborhoods.
I mean, I wonder if there was a need to create a name like the Near South Side to kind of distinguish the part that's sort of closer to downtown than, you know, the South Side really goes on for a long time. You're in Milwaukee until you get to the airport.
Absolutely, yeah. I sort of call that for myself, my shorthand is the Deep South Side. I think that kind of begins, it depends again, these are neighborhoods, I think they're much more a term of art than of science than we give them credit for. Neighborhoods are constructions, in my opinion. But KK River, you might consider the border of the near versus the further south side, or Oklahoma. I feel like once you get on the other side of Oklahoma, there's some substantial changes. Yeah, and I think the near south side, something that ties it together, and I would definitely not claim authorship of this idea, but it really has been the Ellis Island of Milwaukee.
I was going to say, has there this always been a melting pot? Has this been a place where waves of immigrants have come to make a home here?
Absolutely. You know, I was just out in the lobby of the UCC, and they have a great depiction, a small model of a tannery. And the tannery points that there were Central and Eastern European folks here in the early 20th century when the first Mexican immigrants came up to work at the Pfister and Vogel Tannery. And actually, I mean, as we know this in Milwaukee, is oftentimes subsequent waves of immigrants can have adversarial or competitive relationships. So the first Mexican families that came to Milwaukee were brought here unbeknownst to them to break a strike. So the Near South Side, so Latino immigrants have come here. And I think if you haven't updated your knowledge or your account of what's happened on the Near South Side in a while, the Near South Side continues to be the Ellis Island as we are now 1, 2, 3, 4 generations deep into Mexican folks being in Milwaukee. If you look around, there are Burmese people. Actually, the Puerto Rican folks have started moving not to the sort of River West Harambe area, but down to the South Side. And I think that will be an increasing phenomenon of the Near South Side. But you have Northern African, South Asian immigrants. You have lots of different folks who have still come here as first and second wave immigrants.
Why here versus any place else in town?
That's a good question. I myself am a recent South Side transplant, and I think I grew up on the East Side and I moved to the South Side, and I think part of it is there are great homes here. I think the fact that it has been, when you have that kind of that identity of a part of town, that it is a place where immigrants feel comfortable, where different languages are spoken, that, like, go to South Division High School. I mean, that is the most international high school in our state. I think that spirit persists across people. I also think, you know, I think the immigration, most people would agree, is kind of an act of optimism. And with people who are immigrants also often comes a very entrepreneurial spirit. And I knew this before I moved to the South Side, but I see it and hear it every day. People hustle really hard on the South Side, so I think people have that kind of resonance with other folks who have come here before them.
Were your friends surprised you moved down here?
No. I don't think so. I do. I will say the South Side is near and dear to me, and I will say I've only been here a few years, so if there are any lifetime Southsiders in the crowd, they're definitely looking at me right now and thinking, that's an East Sider that just moved to the South Side.
So I have the Brewers hat on, at least.
Yeah, I wear a Brewers hat. So if you're at home listening, I'm wearing a Brewers hat. It's one of the many hats I wear. It's usually just a Brewers hat. So,
is there kind of an underdog mentality to the near South Side?
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, an underdogness definitely comes with the South Side. I heard someone say one time, they described to me where they've lived, and it was like all over the country, but they said, but I've been on the South Side my whole life. Like, they bring it with them, you know? Like, so I think there definitely is an element of, like, that being, you know, an underdog part of the culture.
Do you find that people have surprising ideas about people who live here? I mean, when you're doing your tours, when you talk to people who either did not grow up here, don't live here, what are the misconceptions that they might have of this area?
That's a good question. I think, to me, something that I think is a recent phenomenon, if there's a headline to the census, the 2020 census for the South Side of Milwaukee, is that the South Side continues to change. Not only are there subsequent waves of immigrants coming here, but also migrants. And by that I mean there are more and more African-American folks who are either moving up from the North Side of Milwaukee or Chicago who continue adding layers to what the South Side is. So I think some folks will have an impression of the South Side that maybe they updated 20 years ago, but the South Side keeps changing. And if you haven't been down Chavez Drive or Mitchell Street, or you haven't been on South 13th Street or up on National in the last 5 years, what you'll find is probably different than what you expect.
When we were talking about names, you were talking about how there's been kind of a concerted effort to distinguish the Walker Square neighborhood from what's across the freeway in mm-hmm. Walker's Point. How is what's happening nearby in places like Walker's Point influencing the places to the west, like where we are now?
That's a good question. I mean, I've heard varying accounts of this. Like, for example, the city came out with a gentrification report last year saying that there hasn't been a tremendous amount of gentrification in Walker's Point because that implies gentrification is understood with displacement as well. And a lot of the developments that have happened in Walker's Point have happened in underutilized spaces or largely vacant spaces. I do think, though, I mean, there's certainly a feeling of nervousness as the whole Milwaukee housing market changes, that people who have been Southsiders for generations might no longer be able to afford rents here, might not be able to afford to buy here. That said, there are actually, as was said in the introduction, there are many people, Latino homeowners in the neighborhood, who would stand to gain by rising housing prices. So I do think the wave of development happening in Walker's Point, for me, the litmus test that exists for gentrification is it extraction, right? Are the people who are gaining from it largely from somewhere else, or are there people on the inside track? Because there are Latino business owners in Walker's Point who have been in the winners column, but the question is, like, if you aggregate all that, who's winning, who's losing, who's missing out?
Is there an untold story of the near South Side that we should know?
You know, I would say my favorite place, as you mentioned when you introduced me, to hear stories of the South Side, and this is kind of an old-fashioned thing, is the commercial corridors. So if you were to go to the main streets of the South Side, whether that be Mitchell Street or Lincoln, there are incredible businesses that represent different cultures from around the world who are based there. So, for example, on Mitchell Street, up until about a year ago, they had a business on Mitchell Street representing every single inhabited continent on Earth. So, and here's, so South America, Northern Africa, they have a Somali store, Europe, Asia. They had an Australian resale shop, which recently closed. But they also have the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Wellness Center, so they had indigenous people from North America who could claim presence on Mitchell Street. So I think that's amazing. Recently, I actually went on a little walking expedition with some students on Lincoln Avenue, and we went into a couple of the shops, and I didn't realize there were two different Burmese shops on Lincoln, as well as a really cool airbrush t-shirt place. And so I think the untold stories of Mitchell Street, so you know, I think people tell those stories in some communities, right? But I think the main streets and the businesses and what entrepreneurs are doing in those spaces from whatever background they're coming from, I think are some of the most amazing stories of the South Side. And that includes some of the legacy ones like A.J. Polish Deli or Nagel Awning or some of the places that have been around forever. I can now go on like the Lao Thai restaurants that are up in Silver City. And then also the new cafe is coming. I don't want to step on the next guest's
Well, yeah, path, we should probably, this is probably perfect a perfect place to transition yeah. yep. here. There are three key neighborhoods that our next guests work in. The Layton Boulevard West Neighbors Organization does community development work in Burnham Park, Layton Park, and Silver City. Celia Benton is the group's economic development director, and Jonathan Zuniga is director of outreach and engagement. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. In some parts of town, we think of neighborhood organizations as the people who organize the trick-or-treating or the block parties. What is the role that LBWN plays in these three neighborhoods in which you function?
Well, we still organize the trick-or-treating and the block parties.
Well, of course, yeah.
But, you know, Layton Boulevard West Neighbors is a community development organization, like I mentioned, focused in Silver City, Burnham Park, and Layton Park, so around between the Menominee Valley, Lincoln Avenue, and Lane, the historic Lane Boulevard to the Miller Parkway. And we do all sorts from economic development, housing development, and community building, from the trick-or-treating events, trick-or-treat street on National Avenue, some you know commercial redevelopment along National Avenue as well, to park renovation. So it's a very mix of things.
What does economic development look like to you? Is it about making things better for the people who are already there or doing things to bring other people to that part of town or probably a little of both?
Yeah, absolutely a little bit of both. So one of the things that I focus on is, as Adam says, people hustle very hard in the neighborhoods we serve, and we know there's a lot of entrepreneurialism happening, and so part of our job is to help them grow and establish, you know, validate their plans and really thrive in the communities that they live in, and also to empower neighbors to take control alongside business owners in establishing the vision for commercial quarter development and implementing it as well. We do, of course, welcome, as Adam says, we're an international community. We welcome everybody to come down. All of the businesses I serve definitely want me to invite you to come down and just enjoy the neighborhoods as well.
Well, so how does what you do relate to what's going on in other parts of the cities? Are there similar organizations to yours that are operating that you might partner with?
We, our whole existence is around partnerships. We partner with neighbors, we partner with business owners, but there are a ton of amazing organizations doing very similar work around the near South Side, and I can certainly name some within the economic development world, and I'm sure I'll miss some, but the Multicultural Entrepreneurial Institute, the Hmong Chamber of Commerce, the Hmong American Women's Association, WIBIC, there's the Milwaukee Christian Center, Clark Square, our neighbors to the east, and it really just goes on and on. It's a series of neighborhoods of amazing people.
What are the chief challenges you encounter in trying to encourage investment in this part of town?
I would say from an internal perspective, you know, Adam was talking earlier on, you know, there's the sentiment with names of the neighborhood, right? So near Southside maybe doesn't tug at your heart. But when we start to, you know, acknowledge Silver City and its value, having that name kind of authenticates the value of your neighborhood. And one of the things that I think is important for neighbors to understand is the value of their own neighborhood, just by them being there, getting to know their neighbors, having a voice and controlling what happens, I think is a big hurdle towards implementing those visions. And
I was going to say, my understanding is that the city doesn't assign neighborhood names. It's up to the residents to come up with the names that they want, that reflect their neighborhood and who they feel they are. Is that correct? Is that?
Sort of.
I
mean, if you look, there are maps that exist where every inch of Milwaukee is covered with a neighborhood name, probably the majority, maybe vast majority of which aren't in popular usage by people. So sometimes people do get together and make a neighborhood name together and it becomes something very real. Sometimes it is kind of aspirational thing. So, okay.
And I would also say, a lot of people would consider the South Side as a neighborhood. So, I mean, growing up here in the South Side, you know, I never knew my neighborhood name, but I knew I was from the South Side of Milwaukee. But now I think as we do, you know, all this work and engage residents, they start feeling proud of that neighborhood as well, whether it's River City or Burnham Park or Lane Park.
So for people who haven't spent much time in Burnham Park or Silver City or the whole Layton Boulevard West area, what are some of the success stories? What are the kinds of projects that LBWN has been involved in that you could see just from walking down the street or driving past?
Well, I can start on the north side and you can move down south. So most recently, the business owners along National Avenue and Pierce Street really wanted a way to welcome people to the community and to build more rapport with the neighbors living in the area. And what better way to do that than to show pride through new art installations? And so on the corner of 35th and National and 37th and Pierce, two new art installations created by a Silver City artist were placed there just to represent the amenities that we have. And you know, Adam was talking about the diversity of the neighborhood. You can see all of that in these intricately designed mosaics that reflect the really unique cultural diversity and the manufacturing history, the history of play in the neighborhood, the native flora and fauna. And just it's a beautiful representation of the sense of community that's growing. There's also quite a bit of economic development happening along National Avenue. So as Adam said, we do have quite a few well-established restaurants. Yintian Noodle Shop, for example, has been there since 1997. They're one of the amazing stories of the refugee community from Laos coming to that neighborhood in Milwaukee. But people continue to want to be established in the neighborhood because they know they'll be welcomed. We have Orenda Cafe coming at 3514 West National Avenue in just a few days. I wish I could be more exact, but that was a formerly foreclosed on property, vacant and blighted for over 10 years, and the community said, you know, we believe in the value of this building. We believe that, you know, we deserve more amenities. We want something to serve our families, and so they encouraged Leticia, who's from the neighborhood, to establish that cafe there.
Celia Benton is the Economic Development Director, and Jonathan Zuniga is Director of Outreach and Engagement for Layton Boulevard West Neighbors, and Adam Carr is a journalist, artist, and Southsider. Thanks to all three of you.